Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today's message was preached during an evangelistic service held to open the second semester of the 2007-2008 school year. Our speaker is evangelist Mark Herbster of Independence, Missouri. The title of his message is Fervent but Fake, Characteristics of Hypocrisy. The text is from Proverbs chapter 26, verse 23.
Open your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. It's been a wonderful joy and privilege to be with you these few days. Enjoyed getting to know some of you in the snack shop as well and seeing you around campus. Boy, you've been such a friendly group of young people. Thank you so much. I hope you will continue to do that throughout the entire year. I just want to say also how much I appreciate the friendship that I have with Dr. Stephen Jones, going all the way back to working here in the dormitories with him. I have the highest esteem and admiration for him. I'm so thankful for the direction that this school is going. What a privilege it has been to get to know so many staff members and to see the fine workers that are working here at Bob Jones University. And many of them have impacted my life in a great and wonderful way. I walked into the family room at the dining hall today and just started seeing people after person, the people that I've known throughout the years. I happened to glance over and to see the husband of my fourth grade teacher. I don't know if she's in the building tonight, but Mrs. Peggy Davenport, I saw her husband. I didn't get a chance to go over and say hi to him, but my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Peggy Davenport, is still on staff, I believe, working here at the university. And every one of my teachers has impacted my life, and I'm so thankful. I can say like the Apostle Paul, but thanks be unto God for all those people that have ministered in my life. I have blessed memories for those people. I have wonderful times that I can recall. Thank you so much for all of you folks that have impacted our lives, and what a privilege it is for us to just in a small way invest back into the university for all they've done for us. Let's look to the Word of God tonight, Proverbs chapter 26. I know it's Friday night. I know you've had a good couple of days and you're excited about the weekend, but I trust that tonight you will open your heart and allow God to speak to you from His holy Word. This is a crucial night. This is a great time for you. I believe God has laid this message on my heart for this time, and I hope that it'll be something that will be a help and encouragement and a rebuke to all of us here tonight. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 23. We're going to read one verse, one proverb that has a great simile, a metaphor here in this passage. Parallelism right in this text given to us. He says in verse 23, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. You say, Brother Herbster, what in the world does that verse mean? Well, after all, that's why I'm preaching for the next several moments. I hope that I'll be able to explain what this verse means and that it will speak to our hearts as we look at this passage and other passages of Scripture in a message tonight called Fervent but Fake. Would you bow your heads as we open the message in a word of prayer? Father, I pray tonight that you will fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that I will only say the things you would want me to say. Lord, I acknowledge to you that it is your word that is quick and powerful. My flesh profits nothing. So, Lord, I pray you'll take my words tonight and deeply root them in the hearts of people. Praise the Lord for the foolishness of preaching that can change lives. And, Lord, I pray that your word will go forth and prick hearts and convict and confront where it needs to confront. For young people in this room who are covering sin, for young people in this room who are living a lie, for young people in this room who may not even truly be born again by the power of God. Lord, I pray tonight that you will root out all of the sin and all of the hypocrisy of our lives. Father, fill me tonight. Take your word and do your work. I'm so thankful tonight for the promise of your word, that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that which you please. So, Father, do the work, and I'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago at my home church there in Kansas City, Missouri, we invited a young man to come to our ministry as a consultant to our staff. The Lord had blessed us with a large piece of property there in Kansas City where we were relocating our ministry. Over 100 acres of property sitting right next to the interstate. And this property was escalating in value. And so we invited this young man who was a graduate from Princeton University with a doctor's degree in economics to come to our ministry and to consult us in how to properly use this property for the glory of God. Well, about 6 to 8 months after this young man had come to our ministry, our business manager was looking over this man's driver's license, and he noticed that on his driver's license, he had taken a pen and changed his Social Security number. Come to find out, as we researched this guy's background, he had 2 Social Security numbers. Here he was sitting in the middle of our ministry. He wasn't on staff, but he was consulting the staff, and he was a con artist. He was a criminal. As we researched, we found out that this man never went to Princeton University. He never graduated with an economics degree. He was a phony through and through. And you know what? He got caught. And the Bible does say, be sure your sin will find you out. God knows exactly what is in our lives. You say, Brother Mark, what does that story have to do with this verse of Scripture? Well, the verse says, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. One commentator said this, one who makes fervent professions of love and affection, while all along their heart is bent on evil, is like a cheapened earthen vessel covered up with a veneer of drossy silver. It's a great commentary on this verse of Scripture. You see, if you were living in Bible times, you might go down to the local potter's shop. And if he was a deceitful potter, he might take some silver dross and glaze it over a worthless clay pot. Silver dross is that impure substance that remains after they try to purify the silver. It may look like silver, it may even shine like silver, but it is not genuine. And sometimes a crooked, deceitful potter would take a worthless clay pot covered up with silver dross so that it looked shiny and appeared to be real. They might set it on the shelf and mark it up the full price. And if you didn't know what you were doing, you might pay full price for nothing more than a worthless pot covered up with silver dross. That's the illustration that he's using here. He says, when we make fervent professions, burning lips, smooth talk about what's going on in our life, while we well know that down deep in our heart, we're not right with God. We're like that worthless clay pot covered up with silver dross. This verse is clearly talking about the subject of hypocrisy. The word hypocrite literally means a pretender. It was used in the Greek culture to represent someone who would walk on the stage and hold up the mask. It was someone that was an actor, someone who could hold the mask up and pretend that they were somebody that they were not. And I believe in Christian culture today, and yes, in even Bible colleges and Christian universities just like this one, it is really easy for us to become pretenders. It is really easy for us to have burning lips, but a wicked heart. I have 2 purposes for this message tonight. Number one, I want to wake you up if you're living as a hypocrite. You can fool your teachers. You can fool your classmates. You can fool the people living in your room. You can have your parents fooled, everyone fooled, but God Almighty knows what you're like. And the Bible says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word, O Lord, but lo, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Can anyone hide himself from God? Can we go into a secret place and say, God, You can't see me? God knows what you're like. So my first purpose tonight is for you to take off the mask and to be honest about what is real in your life. Don't be a pretender. Don't be a hypocrite. So my first purpose is to wake you up. But my second purpose is, if you're not living in hypocrisy, which I hope we have some folks in here, a good portion of folks in here that right now you're thinking, boy, I don't think I'm a hypocrite. But maybe this message will be a healthy warning to you. I know I sat where you sit. I was in this school. I know how easy it is to be a pretender sometimes. I know how easy it is to say all the right words and put on all the right clothes and go through all the right conformity to the rules and make everybody think that you're something spiritual. And I want to help you, and I want to warn you while you're here at Bob Jones, be genuine, be real, be sincere. So to wake you up or to warn you, whatever purpose needs to be accomplished in your life tonight, I hope that this message will be a help and an encouragement to all of us. Because every Christian ought to be genuine and ought to be real. And if that's the case, we ought to know what are the characteristics of a hypocrite. What are the characteristics of a person who is living with burning lips and a wicked heart? I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the first passage of Scripture that I'd like you to see as we walk through the Bible and we look at these three different characteristics. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 tonight. As we look at three characteristics of someone who is living in hypocrisy, and I hope that tonight all the hypocrisy will be rooted out of our life. You may not be a hypocrite through and through, but you might have a small hint of hypocrisy in your life. And I hope it'll be a challenge to all of us to be real and genuine. Just recently, I picked up an article and it was talking about how different people in our culture view Christians. And it was said of those between the ages of 29 and 35, unchurched, unsaved people, 85% of the people that were polled on this statistic, 85% of them said this is the way they view Christianity. Hypocritical. How many of you have ever heard somebody say this? Well, I don't go to that church or I don't go to church at all because of all the hypocrites. You probably heard that before. And the fact is there are a lot of hypocrites, but by God's grace, we won't be one. By God's grace, there won't be one at Bob Jones. And you and I can be real and genuine if we take consideration tonight and we root out the hypocrisy as we look at these three characteristics of a hypocritical life. Ezekiel 33, verse 31, gives us the first characteristic of this person. Notice what it says. Ezekiel 33, verse 31. It says, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they do them not. They will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Let me stop. Did you notice? There's burning lips and a wicked heart. Their mouth is showing the love, but their heart is going after covetousness. Their heart is not right, but their lips are speaking the truth. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument." Here it is again. "For they hear thy words, but they do them not." Two specific times in this short passage, we see the first characteristic of a hypocrite, and that is this. It's when we hear God's word, but we do not heed God's warning. When we hear God's word, but we do not heed God's warning, we're like that worthless clay pot. We're covering up with silver dross when we know what God says, but we're not willing to do what God says. You know, he gives us a powerful illustration right here in this text of Scripture. And one of the great things about coming to Bob Jones is you have all kinds of opportunities to come to different concerts in this building, in the Rhoda Haver Auditorium. And one of the things I miss about being at Bob Jones is all the wonderful events, the operas and the programs and the different groups that are brought in from all around the world. When you have a group of singers up here and they're professional singers and they sing beautiful songs and maybe even sometimes in different languages, and you are to appreciate their music, when you hear that beautiful singing, what is appropriate for you to do? Well, it's always appropriate for you to applaud. We don't applaud for ministry music because we're not performing, it's ministering. But when somebody is performing professionally, it's appropriate for you to applaud them. But in essence, when you leave the auditorium, sometimes you forget real quickly. By the time from here to your dorm room, you don't even remember what they sang about. It was just beautiful music. And we ought to appreciate it, but it just rung in our ears and then we forgot about it. That's what he says here. He says, when we hear God's word, but we don't do it, it's like listening to a beautiful concert. It's like listening to someone sing beautifully and we applaud them, but it doesn't change our life. You might even go up to one of the preachers in chapel. You might come up to one of the people speaking on Sunday morning and you might catch them as they're walking out of the auditorium and say, "Wow, that was a great message." You know what you're doing? You are applauding the message. But every preacher does not want you to applaud the message. We want you to apply the message. You see, preaching is not entertainment and we're not here for just a time of speech. This is the word of God that is to change our hearts. And the Bible is real and alive and active. We ought not just be listening to the Bible. We ought to be living the Bible. And yet I believe there are a lot of Christians that kind of applaud the preaching. You might even nod your head. You might even in your heart say amen. But you know full well that you're not willing to obey. There are young people in this room, and you can come in chapel after chapel, service after service. What an incredible opportunity for you to hear the Word of God literally hundreds of times in this auditorium. And there are some of you that come in and you are already shutting your ears. You have already tuned out before you even sit down in that chair. Listen, hypocrisy looks like this. We sit as all the people sit and we listen to the Bible, but we're not willing to be obedient. Can I ask you a question? Is there anything that you know God says in His Word? You've heard it from this platform. You've heard it at your home churches. You've heard it in the Bible class. You know what God says. Is there anything that God has told you to do in His Word, clear teaching, that you are not willing to obey? And yet what we do is we shine up the exterior. We try to make everybody think we're okay by sitting in the church pew, by sitting and listening. Listen, we're not spiritual because we listen to God. We're spiritual when we do what God says. And every young person in this building, every student and faculty member, it is time that we take the truth of the Word of God and we literally put it to practice in our life, and that we do not live hypocritical lives. Another powerful illustration is given to us in James chapter 1. You probably know the passage. You don't need to turn there. In James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word," the Bible, "which is able to save your souls." I'm so thankful that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, you're in the right place. I'm just here to tell you what God says. Neither is there salvation in any other than the name of Jesus Christ. You can be justified. You can be declared righteous in the sight of God. He wants to adopt you into His family, but you personally must receive the free gift. And John 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Oh, I hope that you will not sit through these few days, and you will not sit through these weeks and months of this semester not knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. The engrafted Word teaches us how we can be saved. James goes on and he says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only." And then he says this little phrase, "deceiving your own selves." Do you realize, young person, it is possible for you to sit at Bob Jones University and be self-deceived? And you could think to yourself that you are spiritual because you're here. You are spiritual because you're in chapel. You are spiritual because you're listening to the Word of God. Be not deceived. Don't be just a listener. Make sure you take the Word of God and put it to practice in your life. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now listen to this illustration. "For if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, I will liken him to a man who beholds himself in a glass," that would be the mirror, "and he beholds himself and he goeth his way and he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." What a great illustration. All right. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? Did you do that? I sure hope you did. Could you imagine if tomorrow morning we woke up and we went to the mirror and we saw all the problems on our face? We saw all the problems in our hair, and the girls pull out their tackle boxes and they start working away. They take these tweezers and pluck their eyebrows out. Then they take a pencil and write them back on. I'm just glad I'm a man. Amen. But nonetheless, we all stand in front of the mirror. How foolish it would be for us to wake up in the morning, see the bedhead, see the sleep in our eyes, see the lines on our face, go over to the mirror and go, "Wow, we've got some serious problems that need to be fixed here." And tomorrow, let's pretend that all of us come back to school and we show up to church on Sunday just the way we woke up. You say, that's absolutely absurd. To think that you would look at yourself and see all the problems that need to be fixed and not fix it, I'm really glad that we all fix those problems. If we were to do that, some of you would be unrecognizable. We would wonder who all the new people are at Bob Jones University. Hair would be sticking up all over the place. Unbelievable. I mean, it's absurd to think that you would look in the mirror and not change. Isn't the Bible God's spiritual mirror? I don't know about you young people, but the fact is when I read the Bible, I see the problems of my life. Do you? Hey, get into it. Study it. God will start teaching you and revealing to you small things, big things, all kinds of things that can radically change in your life. You know what we do? Oh, yeah, that's right. I got a bad attitude towards authority. That's right. That's me. I'm a rebel. Oh, man, my mouth is out of control. Boy, James 3 says a lot about that. We see the problems in here. Oh, man, I've got an anger problem. Boy, I'm having trouble with my relationships. Man, my eyes are looking at things I shouldn't look at. Boy, I see those problems. And you know what we do? We see the problems and we walk away. We know we've got problems. God reveals them to us in the mirror of His Word. But we're not willing to be obedient. You know what that is? That's called hypocrisy. When we hear God's Word, but we're not willing to obey. Jesus was the greatest preacher ever to walk on this planet. He preached the greatest message, the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of that great message, He said this: "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains come and the floods come and they beat upon that house, and the house on the rock does what? Stands firm." We know the song. We won't sing it tonight. We learned it when we were little kids. You know what God says? If you are going to be a stable, secure Christian, you got to do what God says. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. But Jesus goes on and He says, "But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains come, the floods come, and they beat upon that house, and the house on the rock, on the sand does what? Falls flat." And when we were kids, we loved to do that in the song, but frankly, it is a sad story when it's somebody's life. And the sad reality is of people that have been in this building, graduated from this school, and possibly even some young people sitting before me tonight, and your life is falling flat on the sand because you're not doing what God says. There's nothing spiritual about just listening. You've got to live the Word of God. We're living in hypocrisy with burning lips and a wicked heart when we hear God's Word, but we're not willing to be obedient. Can I exhort you tonight? Obey God. Whatever you know to be true, you have to live it out in your life. Know the truth and live the truth. That's what genuine Christianity looks like. The fake phony brand is when we can all go to church, we can all listen to the Word of God and kind of nod to God and say amen and know full well we've already decided that's not what I'm going to do. That's being a phony. That fits into Proverbs 26, verse 23. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Maybe that's you tonight. I hope you'll take off the mask and start obeying God. The first characteristic of a person who is living in hypocrisy is when we hear God's Word, but we do not heed God's warning. I want you to turn with me now to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 27. "On the outside, you look like whitened sepulchers, but on the inside, you're full of what? Dead man's bones." That's what a hypocrite looks like. They're glossy. They shine on the outside, but they're empty on the inside. And there are some young people sitting before me tonight, and I know you look good. I know you're conforming to rules. I know that you're trying to fit in, and you want people to think you're spiritual, but you know that on the inside, you're empty. I hope tonight you'll take off the mask and get honest with God and be real and be genuine. One of the best things that could happen at the beginning of this semester is for you to just be honest and be genuine before God. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13 gives us the second characteristic. Why? Because every Christian ought to know whether they're living as a hypocrite. We ought to be genuine before God. So we got to talk about these characteristics. How do I know if I'm genuine? Well, these characteristics are a part of a hypocrite's life. Isaiah 29, verse 13, it says this: "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." We know this verse is talking about hypocrites because Jesus quoted it in the New Testament. And He quoted it to the scribes and Pharisees, and we know He called them hypocrites. He said, "You profess with your lips, but you are not doing it in your life." Here's the second characteristic of hypocrisy. It's when we profess with our lips, but we do not practice with our life. Do you realize, young people, that the professions you make, the lip service that you give, is not the most important thing? Profession is not the most important thing. It's what you practice that really matters. Now, this is a simple illustration, but if I were to come up here tonight and I were to say, now, folks, you should see me play basketball. Man, I can play like Michael Jordan. If I were to say that to you, what would be the first thing you'd want to do? All right, after the service, we're heading over to the gym. You want to see Brother Mark play like Michael Jordan? Here's the ball. Here's your shoes. Let's go. Let's see you dunk like Mike. You know what you'd find out really fast? I don't jump like Mike, look like Mike, shoot like Mike, do anything like Mike. The only thing is I have a twin brother named Mike. And he kind of looks like me, but I don't do anything like Michael Jordan. Have you ever played basketball with people that talk the talk, but they didn't walk the walk? You know what I'm saying? Seems like the guys that talk all the trash are usually the ones that don't have anything to back it up. Have you ever noticed that? My dad always taught me this little phrase. Your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You see, it doesn't matter what I say. You'd find out on the court that I don't play like Michael Jordan. You see, it doesn't matter what we say. It matters what we show. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter what we say. It matters what we show. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Luke 6, verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You say you love God. The Bible says, keep His commandments. You don't really love God if you're not keeping His commandments. You can say all day long that you're following the Lord, but if you're not willing to do what He says, it's not a practice of your life, then you're living in hypocrisy. The Bible actually says you can deny your profession by the way that you live. Titus 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in their works, they deny Him. I wonder if I were to ask tonight, raise your hand if you love God. Don't do this. But if I were to ask you to raise your hand if you love God, probably almost everybody and possibly everybody in this room would raise your hand. Oh, that's real easy, isn't it? When you're sitting there, you don't have to show anything. Nobody's watching what you're doing in your behavior. It's real easy to raise your hand and give lip service to God. But the tough part is going out of this building and actually doing something for God and living for God and showing a Christ-like behavior. You know, the truth of the matter is this is one of the biggest problems, I believe, in our circles today. We say all kinds of things that we're going to do with our mouth that we know full well we're not going to do. Here's what I want you to think about. Do your lips match your life? Is what you're saying matching what you are showing? Several years ago, I had the privilege of traveling on a BJU ministry team. I remember this one particular year, I had the opportunity of traveling, I believe it was out west, and that we stayed with these people that I would call pack rats. Have you ever been around somebody like this? It's hopefully your roommate's not like this. If so, his closet or her closet is probably jam-packed with junk. Hopefully your family's not like this. I remember we walked into the house, and I was beginning to wonder where I was going to sleep that night. There was piles of stuff everywhere, piles of magazines, piles of newspapers, piles of toys. I mean, all kinds of junk everywhere. And we were sitting at the table that night, and the man of the house looked across the table, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, "I've got 30 riding lawnmowers in my garage." And I did exactly what you just did. I chuckled and laughed. My brother and I were sitting there, and he looked us straight in the face, and he pointed his finger, and he said, "You want to see him?" We said, "Okay, sure." He proceeded to take us out to his garage. It was more like an airline hangar. It was more like the parking garage on campus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was huge. I remember he opened the door and there they were, 30 riding lawnmowers in his garage. They were perfectly parked. He started talking about them like, "Hey, that one there, I had to rebuild the transmission. That one there had no power steering." He started talking about these things like they were a part of his family. You say, what in the world did he have 30 riding lawnmowers for? Well, that's what I asked him. He said, "We've got a youth activity at our church." Here's the youth activity. It's called Polo on Wheels. If you're going to be a youth pastor, if you're in youth ministries, you might want to write this one down. This is a great activity. He said, "What we do is we take these 30 riding lawnmowers, we go over to a ball field, and we set up a goal. We set up goals. We give every teenager that comes a croquet ball and a croquet mallet, and we give them a tractor. And every one of them gets to ride around. They split up teams. They divide up and they take turns riding around on the field trying to score their croquet ball. They're playing polo on wheels. How many of you think that's a cool activity? Would you be there? I'd be there too. You say, that's a funny story. What's the point? Well, the point of the story is simply this. When we were sitting at the table, he made some astonishing statements. 30 riding lawnmowers? Yeah, right. And then he proceeded to walk us out and show it to us. You know what we need from Bob Jones University? We need young people who say they love God and they go out into Greenville and they go to their hometowns and they show they love God. And with your lips and your life, you are living in genuine Christianity. Hey, let's stop giving lip service if we're not willing to give life service. Don't say things that you're not willing to do. You know, sometimes when we talked about this when we were young people going to Christian camp, we talk about what we call camp decisions. And we get on to the teenagers. Well, they come home from camp. Man, they're excited. Boy, they've said all these things they're going to do. And they struggle, and many of them fall back into those things. You know what? It's not just for teenagers. It's for all of us. It's real easy to say we're going to do something and not really do it. Not really practice it with our life. Hey, you remember the story, a perfect example in the New Testament? Ananias and Sapphira. I would say at the time of their death, they were living in hypocrisy. Lord, we're giving everything to you. They were not. They gave a lot of lip service. But they were struck dead because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And I believe there may be some folks in this building who are lying to the Holy Spirit. You give all the lip service. You speak nice things with your mouths. You say all the right words. Everybody is fooled because of your speech. But you know your life does not back it up. You know what, folks, even in the matter of salvation, the professions that we make are not the most important thing. Can I remind you of something? Salvation is not a profession. Salvation is what is called conversion. And when God transforms your life, it won't be just, well, I walked this aisle and I wrote it down and here it is in my Bible and I shook the pastor's hands. You know, when you get born again, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. And one of the clear teachings in every one of the epistles of the New Testament is what's called the perseverance of the saints. And that is simply this. If you are a Christian, then you will work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And doesn't the Bible say we ought to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith? Hey, I'm not concerned about young people who are struggling in sin, but I am concerned about young people who are satisfied with sin. You say you're a Christian, you say you're going to heaven, and you have absolutely no desire to walk with God. You need to check up. You need to make sure that you are truly a child of God. James says, faith without works is dead. You got to practice what you say. Don't just have a profession of salvation. Salvation is a conversion of your life. Does your life show that difference? Is it being seen in the lives of people around you? Are they noticing your testimony? Jesus said, not everyone that saith, there's the profession. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth. He's not teaching that you can work your way to heaven. He's just saying, listen, if you're a Christian, you'll want to do what God says. Is that your desire tonight? If you have no desire to listen to preaching and you have no desire to obey God and you have no desire to stay away from sin, what makes you think that just because you say you're a Christian, you really are? Check up, make sure, examine yourself that you're in the faith. You know the tree by the fruit. And if there's no fruit, the Bible says the tree ought to be cut down. And if you're not seeing the fruit in your life, maybe you need to check up and truly be born again. But not only for those of us who are maybe hypocrites through and through, we've never genuinely been saved, but it's easy for us as Christians to say things that we're not going to do. When we profess with our lips, but we don't practice with our life, we're living in hypocrisy. Make sure you're genuine and you're real. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 58. The first characteristic is hearing God's word and not heeding God's warning. Number two, when we profess with our lips, but we are not really practicing it with our life. Let's take off the mask. Who we think we're fooling? We can't fool God. God knows what we're like. Isaiah chapter 58 gives us the third characteristic tonight, because every Christian needs to be genuine. We need to talk about these. And by the way, there are many other characteristics. We're just talking about three of the clear teachings of the Bible. Three characteristics of hypocrisy. Number three is when we focus on outward action, but we forget inward attitude. When we focus on outward action, but we forget inward attitude. I think you'll see this clearly in Isaiah 58. Look what it says. Verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression, in the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God." I think if we were to stop right now, everybody would say, wow, those people are serving the Lord. They're worshiping God. It looks like they're having their devotions. They're praying to God. All the external things they've got down. But God obviously knew their heart. "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors." They say, "Lord, don't you see all the external things we're doing?" And God says, "You're doing a lot of right things, but you're doing them for the wrong reasons. The outside is right, but your heart is wicked." He says, "Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen?" Is God looking for us to be religious and ritualistic and to go through the motions? God does not want us to be ritualistic and religious. He wants our hearts. He wants a living, vibrant relationship with us. And that starts from the inside out. He says, "Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day unto the Lord?" And the obvious answer is no, that is not acceptable to God. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here's what God's looking for. Loose the bands of wickedness, holiness. God wants you to be holy, and holiness is primarily first an internal quality that manifests itself externally. God wants you to loose the bands of wickedness. He says, this is the fast that he has chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. He says, not only do I want you to be holy, but I want you to be a forgiving person. Don't be bitter and angry. Don't hold grudges. Have a right attitude towards people that have hurt you. Let the oppressed go free. Listen, there are a lot of people who sit in church who are bitter. They don't forgive anybody. Somebody hurts them, they get angry, they hold a grudge, they try to get even. And yet they're sitting in church just like everybody else, and they have all the externals down, but their heart is not right with God. And then he says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, to have a heart of love and compassion for people? Listen, the Christian life's not about religion. It's not about this external behavior. It's not about just sitting in the pew and saying all the right things and putting on the right clothes and making sure we're meeting the standards. God wants us to give him our hearts, holiness, forgiving others, and a heart of compassion for people. You see, the inside is more important than the outside. Hey, I'm not saying that we ought not have external standards. I believe wholeheartedly in external standards. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible teaches it. And I believe we ought to teach external standards. I believe we ought to have external standards. All I'm saying is we cannot fall into the trap that the external standards, meeting the external, conforming to the rules, is making us spiritual and right with God when our heart is wicked before him. We must live for God from the inside out. You know, when we eat our food, think about this. When we eat our food, we don't care what it looks like, do we? All we care about is when we dig down into it, it tastes good. Now, I understand if you're a chef, if you're a cook, the presentation is important. But I don't care how good it looks if it doesn't taste good. I mean, when I go to the Outback Steakhouse and they slap that fried, charred, medium well steak down there, I don't care if it looks good. All I care about is if it tastes good. My mom was an expert at making what we called casseroles. Now, you have to understand, in the Herbster House, casseroles were code word for leftovers. Maybe your parents were experts at this, too. And my mom, most of the time, would do a great job taking all the leftovers and putting them together in a casserole. She could make it look frilly on the outside. She could put some fruit and greenery on the top. And most of the time, it tasted really, really good. I remember this one time my mom made a casserole. We sat down. We were taught to eat whatever was put before us. But this time, we could not stomach what mom put on the table. I remember we started to eat this, and it was some sort of a bean-type casserole, and mom had scorched it in the oven. It was terrible. It was gross. And I remember we put our spoons down. We said, "Mom, come on over here. I know it looks good, but it doesn't taste good." And my mom sat down, and she took one bite, and I'm not exaggerating. She threw the entire dish out. Not just scrape it out and throw it in the trash. I'm talking about she didn't even want to clean the dish. She threw the dish in the trash can. Why? Because when we eat our food, we care about the inside more than the outside. Now follow this. You can do right and not be right. Did you hear me? You can do right and not be right. But you cannot be right without doing right. God wants your heart. "My son, give me thine heart," Solomon said. "The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And God wants to cultivate in you a heart for Him. For out of the heart are all the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23 says. And yet we get this idea, and especially in our conservative Christian culture, in the way we're trying to live because we believe in external standards, we get this idea that we can conform on the outside and not have real conviction on the inside. And we live hypocritical lives, making sure externally we're looking awful spiritual while we know full well that our heart is bent on evil. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe nobody in your dorm, nobody in your room, nobody, none of your friends, nobody around you even knows what you are covering up in your heart. Oh, but you know how to put it on. You know how to go through the motions. You know how to say the right words. Boy, everybody thinks you're all right. Listen, I've learned very well that not always is what you see what you get. And there are some young people in this room, and you're covering up some sin that you know you need to confess before God. Can I plead with you tonight? Take off the mask. There's nothing better for you to do tonight than be honest and genuine and stop focusing on the outside and forgetting your heart. This is exactly what Jesus told the Pharisees. Clean the inside of the cup before you clean the outside of the cup. For out of your heart are all the issues of life. It's when we hear God's word, but we do not heed. It's when we profess with our lips, but we don't practice with our life. It's when we focus on outward action, but we forget inward attitude. That's what hypocrisy looks like. That's what pretending looks like. That's what being a phony looks like. Is that a part of your life tonight? Remember, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to wake you up or to warn you not to be this way. It was the 1980 Boston Marathon. Her name was Rosie Reese. The story is a true story. Rosie was running the marathon and she was the first woman to cross the finish line. There was one serious drawback. Rosie only ran 1 mile of the race. She jumped in at the 25-mile mark. She probably poured a little water on her head as she was sitting there and waiting for the people to show up. She had her number that she had illegally obtained from the New York Marathon. She looked like a runner. She was running like a runner. She jumps into the race and runs 1 mile. And they give her the prize. She comes across the finish line. She's interviewed by all the major TV networks. She's the woman's winner of the Boston Marathon. And she didn't even run the race. She ran 1 mile. It took them a whole week to figure out she wasn't in the race. She wasn't in any of the photos. She wasn't in any of the video coverage because she didn't run She was a phony. She was a fake through and through. Listen, young person, there's a greater race than any marathon, and it's called the race of life. And someday we're going to cross the finish line. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you genuinely running the race? Are you hoping to jump in at the last moment and receive the prize? Are you real? Are you genuine? Back in Bible times, if you were to head down to the potter's shop, you might take that clay pot and you might hold it up to the light that was in that room. If you would hold that pot up to the light and you were to turn it around, sometimes, every once in a while, a crooked, deceitful potter might try to fill in the cracks of that pot with a little bit of wax, and then they might gloss it over to try to make it look like there was no problem with that vessel. If you were to hold it up to the light would shine through the wax. They would say that that vessel is insincere because the light was shining through and showing what was real about that pot. But if you would hold that vessel, that clay pot, up to the light and you would spin it around and you would see no light shining through the wax, they would say that vessel, that pot is sincere. If your life was to be held up to the truth, you've seen the light of the Word of God, and as it has been held up to the truth tonight, I want to ask you a question. Is there any light that is shining through your life? Are you sincere? Are you genuine? There might be some young people here tonight, and you know right now God is all over you. You know you're covering up. People don't even know what you're like. Your parents don't know. People sitting around you don't know. You're trying to cover up the sin and the corruption of your life by putting on the gloss on the outside. You say, Brother Mark, what do I need to do? Hey, you remember in Matthew chapter 26, there was a man named Peter. Ever heard of him? Simon Peter, at the beginning of the passage, says to Jesus Christ, Lord, I'll never deny you. That was some pretty significant lip service, wasn't it? In the very same passage of Scripture, what does he do? He denies the Lord. At the end of the chapter, he denies the Lord three times. I would say at that moment, Peter was a hypocrite. In front of the disciples, when everybody was around, it was easy to give the lip service, but he wasn't willing to practice what he just said. But here's what makes the difference. What did Peter do? The Bible says when he was confronted, and as soon as he heard the cock crow, as soon as he knew that he had violated his own words and that Jesus was true, that he would deny him three times, as soon as he was convicted in his heart, he went out and he wept bitterly. I would say that Peter truly repented of his hypocrisy. Do you realize, young people, in the beginning stages of the church, in the first several chapters of the book of Acts, it was this man named Peter who preached the gospel, and literally thousands of people came to the Savior. If you sit in your seat tonight, just like you have sat many other times when you know you ought to go, don't ever plan for God to really use you until you're willing to be honest. But if you are willing to go out and to weep and to repent and to confess and to be honest with God, just watch how God renews your life. And God can greatly use you if you'll be honest and take off the mask even tonight. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I know this is a tough message. We get this mindset and the devil starts to tempt us. Well, if I start walking down the aisle tonight, people around me will go, oh, I didn't know they were a hypocrite. Listen, don't worry about what people think. God knows your heart tonight. There's not a person in this room who has not at one point in your life struggled with hypocrisy, going through the motions, playing the game. And maybe tonight this message was just for you. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to stand to our feet and the instruments will begin to play a song of invitation. Nobody will be looking around. We're not here to embarrass you. But may I plead with you? Do not stand there like you have stood many other times and act like everything is fine and put on the gloss again when you know everything's not really right in your heart. God's dealing in your heart tonight. I hope you will be obedient and responsive. The prayer room will be open. The ushers will direct you that way. There'll be people that can help you and talk to you. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're a Christian, as you have examined your heart, you don't see any fruit in your life, there'll be people that will be willing and able to help you. Trust in Jesus Christ tonight. If you are living with any hypocrisy in your heart tonight, God wants you to deal with it. God wants you to repent. Father, I pray tonight you will do the work that only you can do. Lord, I pray out of this university, out of this student body, that there will be genuine, sincere, real Christians that impact others for the cause of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Evangelist Mark Herbster of Independence, Missouri. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.